How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
All right, welcome everybody to Locked On Lakers. I'm your host, Harrison Fagan. Anthony Irwin, as you may have guessed by the fact that I'm doing the intro, longtime listeners know this. If I'm doing the intro, it's usually because Anthony is not here, and that holds true today. He had a prior commitment, so he was not able to make it, and by prior commitment, I mean I kicked him off the show because I wanted to talk to Chris McGee of Spectrum Sportsnet. So before I get into all that, I just wanted to remind you guys that, as always, you can find our full shows on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Today's Fast Break. See, Anthony, it's not that hard for me to read off all those names. Today's show is brought to you by SeatGeek. Remember to use the promo code LOLakers to get a $20 rebate on your first ticketing purchase. It's the best way to buy and sell tickets. So today, Geeter of the Spectrum Sportsnet, he came on and he joined me for one of the more fun interviews I think that we've had in a while. I mean, we've had some fun ones lately, but we had a marathon discussion for probably about, I don't know, like 35 or 40 minutes on the Lakers young guys. We talked a little bit about who's been in the gym, who's been, how they've all been working in there throughout the offseason, and they're all kind of trying to show this new front office and continuing to show this new front office that they should be part of their plans going forward. We got into that a little bit at the end, but before we got there, we talked a bunch about the draft. Geeter is, as you might expect, pretty excited that the Lakers kept their pick. So we talked about that. We talked about what he's hearing as far as the guys that they're interested in, which I thought was really interesting. It sounds like Lonzo Ball may not be as much of a foregone conclusion as most people are assuming. So we got into that a little bit. We also talked about the Paul George rumors and all of that stuff that's coming out. And I just wanted to talk to Geeter because I think sometimes Anthony and I, as much as we clearly disagreed on the last show about the Kristaps Porzingis stuff, most of the time we can get into a little bit of an echo chamber, I feel like, at times, where we agree with each other and we try to make different points, but Anthony and I on basketball do have a lot of the same opinions, and so it's fun to bring on an outside voice and especially someone as enthusiastic as Geeter. So I was really happy to have him join the show. But before I get to this interview, I'm not delaying you guys, but I did want to get into a little bit of the latest stuff that's happening around the Lakers, because Geeter and I didn't get into that as much. So we did talk about the draft and Paul George and all of that stuff, but the Lakers over this week, they've been hosting some kind of lesser known prospects, and I thought it's been interesting to see who they're bringing in and how they're bringing in a lot of guys lately that don't even really seem to be consideration for the 28th pick. I guess some of them, maybe those guys could end up going with the 28th pick or jumping up. You never really know. But I do think that it's interesting how many lower tier and undrafted free agent candidates they're bringing in to work out. And maybe that's just part of the process. Maybe those are the guys that you bring in at this time of year. But I think it is indicative, and it is notable. It's indicative of the new front office, and it's notable to pay attention to this because we know that the last Lakers front office, for all of their faults, for all of the stuff that's coming out, there was a little bit about their how they handled their former head coach's firing that you can get into on Silver Screen and Roll today. We have some posts up on that. And they were not necessarily the best communicators, the best relationship builders, the best recruiters, all of those types of things. But for all of their faults, they were really, really good at drafting. And you could never say that they didn't do their homework and be able to find guys that were kind of, especially the last couple of years, that were above what you would expect from where they drafted them. You know, they famously, they got Jordan Clarkson 46th. They got Larry Nance Jr. put late in the first round. They got Ivica Zubac early in the second round last year. They've been able to find these guys that end up outplaying their and outperforming their draft status. And so that, but that was the last front office. And I guess some of that scouting is still intact. Ryan West is still with the organization. The Buss brothers, the two younger ones, are still with them. So, but Magic and Pelinka are new. And so I think the fans should be encouraged by the fact that they're still doing all of this due diligence. They're still bringing in all these guys, even if it doesn't necessarily seem like the Lakers will be able to pick them or like they might just be undrafted free agents. They saw last year with Nwaba coming in, and he was somebody that didn't even go get drafted in the D-League draft. And they saw with him coming in and making an impact on the Lakers roster that these types of guys, these contributors that maybe get a little bit overlooked, are worth looking at and seeing if you can find that diamond in the rough. And that's something that the last front office did really well, that I think that fans should be encouraged that this current front office is at least putting in the work to potentially do. We don't know that whoever they pick as an undrafted free agent for Summer League, or whoever, if they buy a pick in the second round, or if they trade down with their first round pick, which their later first round pick, the 28th one, I don't see them trading down from the second overall pick, but if they trade down the 28th overall pick or something, or if they just buy a pick in the second round, then they're doing the homework necessary that it's at least possible that they'll be able to find above average contributors in those spots. And I did think that that was worth noting with how many of these guys have been cycling through, whether in official workouts that are open to the media or the ones that have been leaked via Instagram. I saw Cal State Fullerton's own. I reported Trey Coggins had worked out for the Lakers, and that was kind of cool. As a Cal State Fullerton alumnus, we don't get, you know, we're taught as journalists to be unbiased, but my school does not get a lot of NBA players, and so that was kind of cool to see him in the gym with Magic and that type of thing. But anyway, enough about second rounders and all that stuff. That's not what you guys tuned into this podcast to see. You wanted to listen to me talk to Geeter. But before I get there, one last thing. I wanted to talk to you guys about SeatGeek. We talk about SeatGeek a lot on this podcast, and they've been our sponsor from day one. We love when you guys support them, and we love supporting them and using their product as well, because it's super mobile friendly. That you can buy your tickets right on your cell phone with a couple taps. It's delivered right in the app. You walk with your phone right up to the gate. You don't have to print anything out. You could even just pull over in your car on the way over to Dodger Stadium this summer and buy tickets to the game, or you could buy them in the parking lot, or you could maybe buy them before you left your house. I don't know your life. There's also the deal score that rates every ticket from 1 to 100 to tell you what kind of bang for your buck you're going to get. And that compares across sites, and it lets you know. So for someone like me that's on a budget, it lets me know whether or not I'm getting a good deal. And so here is the offer that we have for our Locked On Lakers listeners that we've had from the beginning, and I think it's great. If you put in the promo code LOLAKERS, you get a $20 rebate on your first ticketing purchase. That's enough to go and, you know, buy yourself a couple beers at the game, buy yourself a snack, do whatever you want to do with that extra $20, but it comes right back to your pocket. And it's not even like for this summer, baseball tickets are that expensive, or you could probably use SeatGeek to get some summer league tickets in about a month. So use SeatGeek, use that promo code LO Lakers, you get a $20 rebate on your first ticketing purchase. I'm tired of talking to myself. Let's get into the interview with Geeter. All right, so now I bring on Chris McGee of Spectrum Sportsnet. Anthony is not joining me today. Chris, I wanted to bring you on because Anthony has been such a pessimist about keeping the pick because of the whole LaVar Ball thing and the Lonzo Ball stuff. And but before we get into all that drama, just like how's it going?
Come on, Anthony. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, I'm glad he's not here so you get to talk, but that's ridiculous. I'm good, man. Things are great. The kids are winding down school. The off season's been great. I mean, obviously getting the number two pick, which we'll talk about, but you know, our schedule lightens up a lot, so it's you know, you get a few more days off. Work's not as stressful, so it's a lot of fun. It's a good time to be alive, playing a lot of volleyball, feeling good.
Yeah, it looked like you were out this weekend doing some stuff, and that was probably pretty fun.
Yeah, that was the Tour de Pier. It's a it's a spin ride, you know, spinning and it's for cancer. There's three different charities that they raise money for. It's the fifth year, and it happens right at the Manhattan Beach Pier. I've emceed it the last 3 years, and now on the board. And we raised $1.4 million this year, which is an amazing number, you know, considering.
That's crazy.
You know, Nash came out and rode. Luke was there for the first time. It was really cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. So I guess this is an awkward segue from that to this, but just I guess what we should start. I'm not a professional host like you, but what we should start with is, like, how happy are you to not have to talk about the lottery at all next season? They keep this pick, they keep the 2019 pick, and the next year, it's obviously not great that they don't have a first round pick, but it also, the upside is that we also don't have to concern ourselves with a first round pick and where it lands in the
Harrison,
draft.
You're the first guy to ask me that, man. You're the first guy to ask me that. Thank you for asking me. I am elated to not have to talk about it for a year, to not have to look at the schedule and wonder if this loss is a good loss. I just want to root for wins, and I want to root for the team to get better. I don't want to be on Twitter talking to people about the lottery. I'm just done with it for a year, and I am so happy about it. And to get the number two pick to me is huge because, listen, there's a few different ways we can go, and I guarantee we're getting a stud. That I know for sure.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing with, I guess, keeping this, is that you know you're going to get a good player, and then next year you can just watch that player improve and watch them grow and not worry about whether or not them going off is affecting the team's chance at the next lottery pick or anything like that. Like, literally, there is no reason for anyone to want the Lakers to lose next year. Or really, what? I mean, I don't think that they're going to be necessarily in playoff contention next year, but it doesn't matter if they're on the fringes or whatever. There's no way they can hurt a lottery pick. And that is, I guess, something that's, like I said, it's not great that they don't have a first-round pick, but it also means that for fans, they don't have to concern themselves with every win hurting the tank or something like that.
No, I know. And you could absolutely focus on, you know, just the team getting better and what direction they're going in, and, you know, not having to trade pieces just to try to, you know, even or sit guys or whatever it is, you know. I mean, you can develop, you know where your focus is. And, you know, I remember the end of the year, and I remember us talking, and, you know, I remember going back and forth with people on Twitter, like, listen, the team's improving and they're winning games. No, I'm not going to come on air and root against it. I'll talk about it, but I'm not, it's not the end of the world for me. And by the way, as Steve Kerr told my good friend Judd Bushler towards the end of the season, the basketball gods are going to reward you because you guys played it the right way. And you know what? He was right.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. It actually did, because their wins, that those third best combination odds ended up being what vaulted them into second and helping them keep the pick.
I mean, can you imagine if we were second worst and dropped to fourth?
Yeah,
oh my God, it would have been the worst day ever.
We'll have to call in a Suns fan and ask them how that went. But I saw a couple reaction videos going around the internet of Suns fans, like, throwing trash cans in their house. And
you know, I saw the same thing, Harrison. But here's the thing: as I told, you know, we have a guy at work that we heckle all the time on TV, Brian Bergen, good guy, one of our directors. You know, huge Suns fan, and we're like, dude, you still have your pick. Like, you're going to get a great player at four. That's probably going to fit your system. I mean, for us, it was, we're losing two picks if we don't get the top three. It was a way bigger deal for us.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was huge for the Lakers. And what's funny is this: that actually could have been the Suns can't even be mad. That could have been their pick. They traded it for Brandon Knight.
Yeah, they traded it. So it's on them. By the way, I'm driving by the new Lakers facility right now, and that place is going to be so nice. I was in it took a tour the other day. It's ridiculous how nice that place is going to be.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures. It looks like it's going to be amazing. And I guess I should, like, as far as keeping the pick goes, like, what are your thoughts? Do you have any thoughts? Are there guys that you like that you're excited about that you would want to see them take? Or are you pretty much of the mind that this is just going to be Lonzo Ball in that practice facility next year?
I love, love, love a few of the guys. I am not one that wants to trade the pick. I don't see why in the world you would do that unless you're getting something unreal in return and you have another plan to land someone else as well, because I think we're going to get a stud. So what's the point of trading away a stud and when you can get a stud later doing something else? So I don't know if that made sense, but I want to keep the pick. I love Lonzo Ball. I love him in the open court. He's a special talent. He makes everyone around him better. I absolutely do not think it is a foregone conclusion. I actually think it's probably 50-50, 60-40 in favor of Ball in that Laker front office. Guys love De'Aaron Fox in that front office because what's there not to love? The kid is one of the best athletes in the draft. He's 6'4". I know he's skinny, but he's got good length. He's as fast as Cal will tell you, Calipari would tell you, he's as fast as John Wall with the ball. He's not a great shooter yet, but still the kid put up 38-39 versus UCLA. He rises to the occasion. He won 3 state championships in high school and then went and played for the best program in the country based and you know, played awesome against elite talent.
So that's interesting.
You know, and this kid is – yeah, and the kid's got the best personality. So there's what's there not to love about De'Aaron Fox? And then Josh Jackson, they love too, and so do I. So – There's three really good guys you're going to be looking at number two.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that Fultz goes one, even if Danny Ainge isn't really willing to commit to it publicly, because why would you? You want to make the teams drafting after you do their work and what like have to prepare for multiple guys and things like that. But so that's interesting. The front office is going around, and they've been pretty open about saying that they like those three guys then.
Yes, I mean, no one has ever come out in that front office and said, it's Lonzo, and then they're not going to do that anyway, but people I talk to, without a doubt, those are the three guys that they absolutely love. You got to remember, I mean, Magic and Rob were at that Kentucky-UCLA game and watched it live. You have to remember that they've already interviewed De'Aaron Fox, so, and he wowed them in Chicago, Luke included. So, you know, they love this kid. You know, I've talked to Luke about Lonzo Ball. Loves him. Absolutely loves him. And watched him play a few times. So it's going to be a big decision for the Lakers and Ryan West and the buses and Magic, Palinka, Luke. I mean, listen, it's more than just one person going into this room and making this pick. You know, they're going to, you know, do their collective homework and their due diligence, and then they'll make the right choice for their team. So for me, I can't wait for this process. And I got to be honest with you, a lot can change, and the workouts and those interviews are going to be huge. And you know, Lonzo's going to have a great workout, and he's going to have to say the right things in the media, and they're going to have to get a great feel, I think, for him to be the guy. I don't think it's just a, hey, it's Lonzo, let's go. I know a lot of people feel that way, but I don't personally.
I'm with you from the respect that we saw this happen 2 years ago, right? Where everybody was saying, okay, it's Okafor.
Yeah.
It's going to be Okafor. The Timberwolves are going to take Towns. It's going to be Okafor. And then his workout didn't go that well. And Russell's workout did. And that probably wasn't the only reason that the Lakers ultimately went with Russell. I think there's like playing style changes throughout the league and other stuff that they were seeing that probably led them to make that decision as much as anything. But we've seen this happen 2 years ago where it changes. Last year, Brandon Ingram was kind of the foregone conclusion, and that happened. So that can also end up what happens, where it's the guy that everybody expected. But Russell, I think it's fair to say, I mean, I don't remember a whole lot of people thinking that that's who the Lakers were going to go with. I think pretty much everybody thought it was going to be Okafor. And so I guess there is the potential for a situation like that this year.
Yeah, and you know what? You have to work out more than just three or four guys. Work out those top 10, 12 guys, because who knows what you might do. Maybe they have thoughts of trading down. I don't know. But you gotta do your due diligence. I mean, look at a Porzingis and a Devin Booker, you know, Miles Turner. You know, you do this draft over again, those guys are all catapulting up. You know, D'Angelo Russell's right around there too, but Okafor drops. So, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein might have dropped. So, you know, it's like the Lakers have to. They're in too big of a position to just say this is a foregone conclusion. It would make no sense. Like, you're a new regime. You have to make the right pick for this team and moving forward. And you have to weigh all options. And fans have to realize that. Yes, you can be a fan of a player, and there's going to be fans that just want Lonzo. There's going to be fans that want Fox. And, you know, but the Lakers have to make the right decision for them. And I would be bummed if they didn't do their due diligence and their homework.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason not to. And then even if you don't end up drafting the guys, you have a prior relationship with them, you have prior experience with them, and then who knows, like in 5 or 10 years in free agency, that's something, that's information that you can kind of call back of how they went through those. It's a free opportunity to get information on other teams' players, which isn't something, like, you aren't going to have a chance to bring these guys in and work them out ever again. Because by the way,
you know, what only the front office and the coaching staff knows, and we don't, is you also have to look at who are these guys going to be playing with and what's the best fit. How do they fit with D'Angelo? How do they fit with, you know, are they trying to get Paul George? You know, there's things that they're thinking of that, you know, 3-4 steps ahead that maybe we're not. And they have to do that, too, and they got to be good at that for this to be successful. You know, that's the job of the front office, is to be able to see those moves 3 ahead and make the right call.
Yeah, that's the interest.
Like
been,
I said, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
That's been the other interesting debate, is the Lonzo Ball and D'Angelo Russell thing. How and we knew this was going to happen, right? The second the Lakers got the second overall pick, I think it was maybe 15 minutes later, there was a report out. Maybe 30, maybe half an hour later, there was a report out that other teams were, that they hadn't called the Lakers yet, but that they were thinking about what they would have to give up to try and pry D'Angelo Russell away, because teams are like, okay, they're going to take Lonzo Ball. That means that they have a new point guard now. They're going to want to get rid of the old point guard. Whereas Russell was pretty good off the ball last year, and I feel like he'd be a pretty good backcourt partner with Lonzo Ball. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, or have you
heard
anything?
Can I ask you a question, too? Like, well, no, I haven't, but when has it become you can only have one good guard in this league? I mean, are people not watching the playoffs? Teams have 3 good guards, 2 guards that can handle and shoot it. I mean, guys coming off the bench. I mean, you need that to win in this league now, you know? So, like, why can't they draft a great point guard?
Yes.
D'Angelo absolutely can play off the ball. He already has. He's shown it. And I mean, what, you know, so for me it's like, listen, I'm okay with getting another great guard. Absolutely. I want best player available. Who they think is that best player, who they think is going to be a star, that's who I want. And let's make it happen. And they can play with whomever's on our roster right now. I have no concerns about that. I really don't, Harrison, to be honest with you. I mean, I know people think about it like, oh, my God, it's D'Angelo's team. Or, I mean, come on. Man, this is 2017 here. These guys are young. It's you know whose team is? The Lakers. Magic Johnson, Jeannie Buss, Luke Walton, Rob Pelinka, Joey Jesse Buss. I mean, that's whose team it is. These guys are playing, and you have to deal, and there's no more hand holding out there, and hey, let's be sensitive to everyone's feelings. This is a business. It's a grown man's league, and they need talent, and they need a lot of it. So let's add a piece.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, is that it's Luke Walton's team right now. He's the one in there with the biggest voice and the most experience. And in his system, I mean, we saw it last year. Yeah, sure, there was a point guard on the floor. There was a player that they started at, like, quote-unquote point guard. But if you watch the games, it's not that point guard bringing the ball down even, like, 50 to 60% of the time. It's Randall, it's Russell, it's Clarkson, it's Lou Williams, it was whoever.
You know what it's about? The Lakers need a guy who thinks a little bit more about involving others and making plays for others. And I think Ball fits the bill the best, and I think Fox fits that bill pretty well. A guard that can break someone down and get to the rim. But the guard that, you know, we have a lot of guys that can create and score. You know, D'Angelo can score different ways. Clarkson loves to score. Like, adding another guard that can get those guys the ball in good spots and can create himself and get others involved, I mean, are you kidding me? That's huge. That's what we need.
Yeah, for sure. I think
we don't
so.
Need all these same guards. We need guys that are different, too, to mix with these guys.
Yeah, you need guys with differing skill sets. And I think I've said this on the show before, but the thing that I like the most about Ball is that he's not even necessarily, people talk about him as a pure point guard, whatever, because he does like to pass, and that's true. But he's also a guy that can play off the ball and a little bit combo-ish in that way. And Russell's like that, too, where you don't really necessarily want him bringing the ball down every time. And I think for that specific reason, I think that they'd fit fairly well together.
Yeah, I mean, you watch, and listen, I hate to always use the Golden State example because Luke coached there, but, you watch the Spurs, you watch Golden State, you watch Cleveland. It's about moving that ball and making the extra two passes. And that's where I think when the Lakers did it well last year, they looked great. When they got stagnant, they did not. And you need another piece that knows how to play that style. And that's the bottom line. And that's the way Luke wants to play. He wants unselfish. And there are a couple guys in that draft that are very unselfish.
Yeah.
And then listen, Harrison, when you looked at our guards last year, Lou Williams, Nick Young, Jordan Clarkson, D'Angelo Russell, very similar qualities, right? Skill sets. All could kind of score. Sure, they broke the game down a little bit differently, but, you know, you had a lot of the same there. So, you know, getting rid of Lou was, like, good for the young guys because they got the rock a little bit more, and they were involved at the end of the game more. So now you want to bring in a young piece that understands movement and is a little different than them, in my opinion.
Yeah, all those guys, I mean, their games, like you said, their games weren't the same, but they were, none of them you would quantify as pass first, or in Nick Young's case, like pass fifth.
And you know what else they have to get? And this is where obviously De'Aaron Fox is, you know, attractive, is we always talk about ball movement and offense, but really they need a guy that can play both ends. And they need that in depth, in starting. I mean, that's just the truth. And De'Aaron Fox definitely is a guy that they think can be an elite defender, and not just they, everyone thinks that. So, you know, you also have to look at that when you're drafting and when you're looking in free agency and you're looking in trades. You have to think about who comes in here and plays both ways and makes us immediately better defensively. And that's something that we overlook a lot.
Yeah, I mean, no one, I don't think any of these young guys are going to fix the Lakers defense right away, but you have to start at some point after the last 3 years.
You have to start
bringing a couple defenders in here, and I think Ingram will be one of those guys. You mentioned Fox. I think Josh Jackson looks like he's going to be really good defensively, and from everything that I've read, so they can start bringing in guys that are going to start to make a difference on that end. Maybe not next year, but at least start to build the habits that going forward will allow the Lakers to not be a complete laughingstock defensively.
And you know, the conversation I have a lot with just fans that I meet or friends of mine that are, you know, huge Laker fans, because we talk about it a lot, the fact that, you know, you can watch the way certain guys play defense, and it's hard during a game because you're watching the ball so much, but just zone in on a guy a few times and watch possessions and watch how they tag a guy coming down the lane, watch how they fight through screens. Watch how they get into somebody when they have the ball. And it doesn't mean you're stopping guys, because guys are going to score in the NBA. Kawhi Leonard gets scored on in the NBA. But it's an attitude in a way they go about it, and a physicality and an athleticism that goes into it that you need to look at. And that's what I think the Lakers need to get desperately better at.
Yeah, and I think another thing that they've mentioned that they're scouting when they're looking at these guys, or that Luke mentioned it, I think, like last week in an interview, where he said that they would have their scouts look into how LaVar Ball was at UCLA. And that was one of the things that they'd potentially evaluate, because he's been fairly loud in the media.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, are you excited?
Well, I know the answer to that.
Are you excited for him to crash the set of your show next year and just make himself a co-analyst with James Worthy?
That's actually funny. I don't know if we'd even have him on our show, but he is good TV. There's no doubt about that. But in my own talking to people at UCLA, because I had two people that I knew that worked there, I know kids that played volleyball there. The dad never came to a practice, never interfered like that. The kid was a good kid amongst other athletes and people like that. He wasn't looked at as a oh man, he's cocky and does his own thing. Like, the people I've talked to really, really liked him. He's a good kid. So I don't know what answer Luke and those guys are going to find out, but those are the ones that I found out. So that made me feel a lot better. I don't think they care too much about the LaVar Ball issue, to be honest with you, but it's not a non-factor. I mean, it definitely needs to be addressed and talked about, and the Lakers need to do their due diligence on it, and they will when they talk to the Ball family. But at the end of the day, I want to draft the best player. And if Lonzo fits that, then let's grab him, and we're not going to worry about LaVar too much.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of people that I've talked to, not within UCLA, but like UCLA fans, have made the argument that he wasn't really that loud there until the season ends. But I think my only counter argument to that is that for Lonzo, even if when the season ends, he's still going back and he's going to be playing with most of these guys again. So if he ends up, if LeVar goes out and he's criticizing the other Lakers, like, does that create tension in the locker room? And I guess you just kind of have to do your due diligence and hope that that's not something that's going to happen.
Yeah, you got to roll. Yeah, exactly, Harrison, because listen, we see it with wives all the time. We see it with agents all the time. Someone will come out and say something. It happens, man, and you deal with it in-house. Believe me, there are going to be fights and arguments in-house that we never hear of all the time. I mean, in college, I played volleyball. We had them on our team. I mean, it just, and no one cared because no one cares about men's volleyball in college. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to happen. But, yes, because of the age we live in and social media and videos, yeah, it's going to be an issue sometimes, but you deal with it. And hopefully – when you do your due diligence and you talk to Lonzo or LeVar or whomever you talk to in that family, they get the hint that, listen, we don't play these games. And you're going to find out real quick how that affects a locker room. But I think guys want to play with him. I think guys like him. Does he have a bigger target on his back because of his dad? Yeah, his dad created that. So they're going to have to deal with it as a family. And I mean, he's going to have a target on his back no matter what anyway, because he's going to be a top three pick, right? But you know, the dad has created that, and they're going to have to deal with it. And listen, it's hard for people, and I understand this. For me, I don't care too much about it. But I have friends that can't stand the kid because of the dad. And I get that, because that's what LeVar's created. But at the same time, like, he loves his kid, and he's doing what he feels is right. Do I agree with it? No, but listen. There are people that don't want him drafted because of his dad. They have every right to feel that way. I got news for you, because it can be pretty damn annoying. I just go on the side of, I'm not worried about it because I think the kid's a great player. And I don't think at the end of the day it's going to matter much, but I could be wrong. I mean, I've told you this on the show. D. Fish and I went back and forth on this before, you know? Like, he showed me his side. I said my side. I mean, it's definitely a factor. It absolutely is a factor. I just don't know how strong of a factor it's going to be.
I think the one advantage that he's going to have with his teammates, at least, if there is drama and things like that, is that he is very much a facilitator and that type of thing. And so it's a little bit, harder to get mad at the guy who's passing you the ball, as long as he's being unselfish. If he was more of a score first, like a, you know, Kobe's type of game, and then his dad was walking around saying stuff like this, obviously, if he was as good as Kobe, people would just deal with it. But if he was more of a shoot first type player, and his dad was talking kind of all this stuff, and he ended up mentioning his teammates or whatever, that might be harder for him to deal with than now, where they see him and he's this unselfish player and he's the one setting them up for lobs or open threes and things like that. I think it's a little bit harder to get angrier at that guy.
And, you know, exactly. You just hit it on the head. And once this kid comes into the league and everyone goes after him for a year and he has a target on his back and he shows he's a good player and he earns his stripes, You move on, and you move on to the next kid everyone wants to go after, right? I mean, you know, we have short memories. You know, hopefully, you know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping that LeVar at some point says, my son is now a young man. He's in the NBA. Let's let him be who he is, right? Like, I don't know if that's a reality. I hope it gets that way. If it doesn't, then it'll continue to be a circus. But he also has two other sons he's got to start to worry about. So,
see him starting to quiet down just based on everything we've seen. But the fact that he's going to have another son at UCLA and he has another son in high school, there is a chance that he'll have bigger things to deal with. Although, given how much he's tried to promote their big baller brand and stuff like that, I really can't see him not taking every opportunity he can to get out in the Lakers media, which, as someone who has to write about a lot of this stuff, I'm not super excited for. But as a fan, I mean, I think I would find it entertaining almost. I don't know that, as long as it wasn't causing real issues in the locker room, I don't know that it's like that big of a thing. The only thing is if it starts to cause issues with his teammates or in the organization. But if it's just like kind of harmless bravado, then I would think it would just be entertaining.
And listen, like, remember this. In college, ESPN and the networks couldn't wait to interview him, right? Must-see TV. Like, how is he going to be on TV in NBA games? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not going to be getting interviewed during NBA games, at least not on our net. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, maybe on TNT, maybe ESPN will go out, you know, but, like, I don't think there's going to be as many opportunities, to be honest with you.
I would be shocked if he wasn't on ESPN and TNT courtside a couple of times at least.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he was on, what, 30 times? It seemed like they were interviewing him every single game.
Yeah, that's true.
So, all right. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
We've talked too much about Lonzo and LeVar. The other big thing that's happened over the last week that I did want to talk to you about is the just deluge of Paul George rumors. Are you ready to just call
Great
it
word.
And say this guy's going to be a Laker yet?
Nope. I wish I could.
That's interesting. I actually did not expect that answer from you. I expected more confidence, Geeter.
Well, until I've learned my lesson too many times there. Until I see him in the purple and gold, I absolutely will not call it. Do I think he will be a Laker one day? Yeah. Do I hope? You bet. I guess the big discussion for me and the topic that I go through in my own head, you know, in my daily conversations, do I want to do it now or do I want to wait in free agency? And there are people that get paid a lot more money than me to make that call. And for me, I think about, I don't want to give up the farm or too much for him if I absolutely think he's coming next year. But you run the risk of losing him to another team or to Indiana because of the supermax or because he goes through a situation and he ends up liking it and they're winning. So you run that risk. If you could get him now and give away one of the young pieces, he's a for sure Laker. I just can't do it yet. Because I've been burned too many times, and I know you have too, so I'm not going to go there, but I think he will be one day, yes.
Yeah, I think that if the argument for trading for him, I think there is something to be said for kind of the bird in the hand being worth two in the bush, and that's something that Anthony and I have said a couple times. But you also, if you give up too much for him, then not only do you not have these guys to play with him, but you don't have these guys to potentially trade for another star to play with him. And then are you just capping yourself out as Indiana West? Because we've all seen Paul George by himself is not going to get you a title. And I think that's the concern that the Lakers should maybe have, is we don't want to give up the farm for this guy because we know that he can't win it all by himself as great as he is.
Yes, very true. And I think, and this is just me, I think he is a piece and a part. I think the Lakers really want him, but I think there's another person that they'll want as well, whether it's a year after or whatever. So, like, I think Paul George, and I, you know, I've had a friend say to me exactly what you just did, like, well, you know, Paul George isn't going to win this, the Lakers championship. So no, he's not, but he can be a part of a team that can get them to where they need to be. And I think that's where it starts. So, you know, for me, like, I don't want to trade away everything, just as you pointed out, because then you're just a team with one really good player and you're still losing and he's pissed and he probably leaves anyway. Right. So, you know, that's where I think you got to be sure. I don't want to give too much up for him if I don't even know he's staying for sure. I mean, there's all these things that you know, that weigh into it.
Yeah,
I think he is a piece, is what I think.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of variables that they have to consider, and I'm with you. I'm glad that there are people paid more than me to make that decision, because if it was if it just came down to it and you had two buttons in front of you and one of them is trade for George and one of them isn't, I'd be agonizing over that decision if it was actually going to affect me long term.
And you know what? Like, it's the job of the front office to know what Paul George wants and to know what other big-time players want. And it's the job of the players to get together now and do it. You know what I mean? It's like, that's what they do. That's what the big three did. You know, that you make moves to get Kevin Garnett and then Ray Allen. You know what I mean? Like, there are moves you make to complete it. And I think Paul George is a big piece of that. So how they get him, that's going to be the topic. You know what I mean? When they get him, you know, you don't want to give away too much, man, when you think he's coming in free agency. That's what I'm saying, because you hit it on the head. You don't want to give away other trade. You don't want to trade. You don't want to get rid of all your pieces that you can trade for again, right? Like, why trade everybody for Paul George now and you have nothing to get someone else in a year?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's probably the best counter-argument to it.
So that's the big decision going into it, man. But listen, when I'm watching these NBA playoffs, you just so desperately want the Lakers to be back. I mean, my kids can't even remember when they were in the playoffs. So I'm always answering questions to my daughters. But when the Lakers were good, I'm like, it wasn't that long ago, but it sure feels like it. So, you know what I mean? It's like it's hard because we all want them to be good. And when you want them to be good so bad, the word patience falls by the wayside, right? When you want them to win badly, you the word patience means nothing to you.
that's
the inner battle you have to have with yourself.
It's like our mutual friend Daniel Berge is always saying, there are 8-year-olds that haven't witnessed the Lakers title. This is a travesty.
He's right. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, my daughter, was born in 07. So 2009 and 10, she's alive, but she doesn't remember those.
Yeah.
She doesn't remember dad completely raging after victories. She has no idea. So, you know, it's like, you know, my youngest one is 6. She hasn't seen it. I mean, really, their Laker fandom has seen, like, 3 of the worst years ever. I mean, it's like, so for us who live it and talk about it all the time, you know, for us to realize that this rebuild is still in the beginning stages is like, come on, dude, you can't spin that to me that way. We've been dealing with this 4 years. Remember the Mike D'Antoni years? Wasn't that a rebuild? But it wasn't when you look at that roster.
No, so it really
the
wasn't,
fact is
honestly.
That they are now just starting out, right? These young guys are just starting out.
Yeah, I
that's
mean,
the truth.
The rebuild started kind of in earnest last year. Sure, they had the young guys on the roster the 2 years before that, but Kobe was still around. There was more of a focus on featuring him for that farewell tour that the 2 years ago, and then the year before that, you know, he was injured. Randall got injured into the first game. Really, the only redeeming factor of that year was Clarkson's breakout. And then the Kobe farewell tour year, Russell had his rookie struggles. They were focused on Kobe. So last year was really the first year that the rebuild actually got going. As frustrating as that is for some people to, I think, acknowledge, because they're like, the Lakers have been bad for 4 or 5 years now. I want them to be good again soon. They should be good again now, but there's context here, and they weren't really. Some of those years were somewhat wasted from a developmental perspective.
Somewhat wasted, and I think that's where the former front office got into trouble a little bit. And listen, you know, they were trying to, I don't know, save their jobs is the right answer, but they're, you know, they're trying to put the best product out there that they think can get into the playoffs, right? I mean, they thought moves they made would, along with Kobe, you know, would get them into the playoffs. And they didn't. Kobe was hurt a lot. And Hibbert and Jeremy Lin and Boozer, like, you know, they thought they were making moves to, you know, get the team closer. Dang and Mozgov. If we get Dang and Mozgov, you know, we have good veteran presence. So, you know, you're making moves that just didn't pan out probably how they thought, right? So, yeah, I mean, like you said, you almost wasted a couple years there. But at the end of the day, you know, Kobe's still on the team. So it was really hard to be in the developmental stage.
Yeah. Well, so, now that developmental stage has begun, I guess we'll end on this, because we've spent actually the whole podcast now talking about guys who aren't actually on the Lakers. So we should at least spend a couple minutes talking about guys who are on the Lakers. As far as how the offseason's going, what are you hearing? Have you been at the gym for these workouts? Like, who are you seeing that's kind of been in the – are you hearing that anybody's been in the gym more than others? Or what are you hearing about the Lakers' improvement? I saw that you were at Brandon Ingram's mural event the other day. Have you talked to him? Have you talked to any of these guys about what they're doing to kind of improve their games?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've been doing my homework a little bit. And, you know, I know Nance is in there and working hard. Ingram is working a lot on his shot with Keith, BK, assistant coach, Brian Keith, and Judd Bushler. And working a lot of it is technique with him. They're working on the rotation and that guide hand, which is his left hand, and where to put that. So he's working tirelessly on that. D. Russ is now back. He's in the gym. He's been reported the last couple of days. I haven't seen him. but you know, I've seen pictures and I've talked to those guys, so I know he's been in there. So everyone's, you know, listen, it's summer, it's their off season, they're allowed to go on vacation, they're allowed to work out with their own guys, and they all are, but they're also putting time in the gym. So that young core, Zubat's there all the time. So that young core has been there. And from what I'm hearing, they all look good. So, but you know, it's off season workouts. When they're in there working hard, it's great, right? So
it's kind of crazy that they're in there this early. Yeah. Like the list of names you're seeing coming out. Like it's one thing to see like, oh, Brandon Ingram was at the gym today. He got some shots up. But it's another thing to see Ingram, Zubats, Nance, Russell, Randall, Tyler Ennis, David Nwaba. Like I'm probably missing some guys.
Yeah,
here,
yeah.
But there have been these long lists of guys.
Yeah, and you know what's kind of cool is you know, I guess it's different from back in the day when, like, you know, you're winning and you have a veteran team, right? The vets all go on and do their own thing, and the coaches go on vacation and they golf and they hang out. Well, like, our coaches are in the – like, Luke gave his coaches 1 month off. He said, report May 15th. Well, Luke has been going in every day since the season ended. So Luke's as hands-on as you can get in terms of with Rob and Magic and Ryan West and the Bus family. Now, the guys came back May 15th. And that's when it's been on. I mean, they're all in there. Coaches are in there, and they're working guys out. And, you know, they have their own – as I talk to Luke, you know, right now, I'm like, dude, when are the big dogs coming in? Like, you know, the guys that we may draft. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm really looking forward to that. You know, we're working a ton of guys out right now. But he's like, the fun part is our guys are in there. And that's what's cool. And they're there. So all those young guys are there with our coaching staff. That's huge, man. It's huge. And it's cool. And it's good for our fans to hear that – you know, these kids aren't just like, hey, we're on the Lakers. They know what they need to do. And Magic and Rob and Luke were right on them when the season ended in those exit interviews on what they needed to do. So,
well, and you mentioned Magic.
And the coaches have a plan, and I love it.
You mentioned Magic and Rob, and I think that's an important factor in this that sometimes gets overlooked, that, yeah, these guys are working hard, but they also have to, because this is not this front office did not draft a single one of them. So they have to show that they deserve to be in these future plans and not be included in a trade for Paul George or not be let go or get an extension or whatever it may be. They have to play their way into this front office's plans.
Bingo. Hit it on the head. Exactly it. And you know, if I'm going to make an impression on my new boss, then I know I'm going to get in there. I'm going to get in the weight room, and I'm going to get in the gym, and I'm going to do whatever I can to impress. Because you just hit it on the head, and you know, it's been cool. You know, it's been fun to, you know, I've seen Luke a few times. You know, he's, you know, it's awesome. I don't know if our group of friends knew, like, oh, are we going to be playing volleyball every day, or what are we going to be doing? And you know, it's been cool to see Luke, like, literally. He goes to work every day, and then in the afternoon he's done, and he'll go play volleyball or hang out with his family or whatever, work out, whatever he's got to do. But, you know, he's had a great approach about that. When we went to Arizona on that trip to MC those awards for the University of Arizona, you know, he has that great line where he says, I got to work. We won 26 games. So, you know, Luke, it's funny, I reading message boards or Twitter or whatever, you're always going to get that topic of, is Luke Bundy left Golden State?
Yeah.
And, you know, Luke has the job that he wants. And Luke loves Steve Kerr. And he never talks like that. Like, that's just what people, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Is there something inside him? Maybe. He hasn't talked to us about it. You know, he's happy where he is. He's a Laker. And, you know, he loved his time at Golden State. He loves that franchise for what they did for him and for the kind of people that they are. I mean, from Bob Myers on down and those players, that's a special group. And Luke enjoyed that, but he's where he wants to be now. And he's there every day. So it's like, you know, that's what I think I love about Luke the most. And maybe people don't know is that this is where he wants to be. And he's going to do whatever it takes to get back on top. I mean, that's just how he is. And people might not know that because everyone always thinks laid back Luke, mellow Luke, being in a teepee as a kid with his dad, Luke. You know what I mean, right? Because Luke's got a very mellow, cool side to him. But I've told you and Anthony this before, there is a competitive fire in there. There's a dog in there that you don't get to play 10 years in the NBA without having it.
And he wouldn't be in the office every day if he didn't have it.
No, exactly. I mean, the guy wants to win so badly. So, you know, listen, that's my daily pump up on the podcast with you guys about Luke.
I don't need to tell you guys. You just juiced up all of our listeners.
Listen, yeah, but you know what I mean? It's like this is that my whole point is the staff is working. The players are working. The front office is working. And that makes me happy, man. That makes me happy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably as good of a note to end on as any, because I think everybody that just listened to this podcast is ready to just get out of their car, like hopefully pull over first, and then just like do a couple laps and celebration around it.
Go get to work, people. We can't rest until we're back to where we need to be, and that's competing.
So that's competing
in the Western Conference.
Before I let you go, I did want to ask you guys this. Yeah. What are Spectrum's plans for draft night? Because I know ESPN televises it, but are you guys going to go live during the event, or what are your guys' plans for draft night?
Great question. What we usually do now, when we did the draft lottery, we went on about an hour after. During the draft, for the last couple of years, because we've had the number two pick, we'll go on much earlier. I want to say, we were on middle first round. So when does the draft start?
That you are asking the wrong person who was not prepared enough
for
this question.
We're on probably a half hour, an hour after. Like, we're on during the first round.
Okay.
For sure. Mid to late first round, we're on live. So we'll be on, you know, once the Lakers make their pick, we are basically like, let's do this. Our show is ready. And once we know who the pick is, then we plug in. And we go on set, and we're basically getting ready to go. So it's not too far after that. And I'll definitely let you guys know. But, yeah, draft night is big for us because we get both guys to call in. You know, whoever we draft, they call in. You know, Trudell also gets them in New York. You know, so it's a big deal. You know, we get, you know, Magic or Rob calling in. You know, the cool thing about the draft lottery night, you know, Magic and Rob are in a car together. We get them on a speakerphone. I mean, that's awesome to me.
Yeah, that was a
pretty. If you're a Lakers fan, you don't love that, then you should go root for the Clippers.
It still is a little bit surreal to have Magic Johnson so involved, and like the same Magic Johnson that led the team to all these titles and stuff, like involved in the franchise day to day.
It's so amazing. It's just crazy. It really is. And gosh, I hope they get back on top, as it would be a great story, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would, and then we can keep having you back on, and we won't need you as much to pump up Lakers
fans.
It can be like everybody's going to be happy already, and we can all kind of celebrate together.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I've been miserable with Laker fans the last 4 years, so I get it. I can be a Debbie Downer just like anybody, but you can have Brez on for that. You know, you want a little fire up and a little pump up and some positivity, then put me on.
We definitely will continue to. Geeter, thank you for the time, and we will catch up with you after the lottery when, you know, you've already talked to LeVar Ball and all of that stuff.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Anthony, too bad you missed it.
You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate, and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and oldnavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.